Grace and peace be to you in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I'd like to share with you some thoughts from the epistle reading today from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, wherein he talks about unity in Christ, being united in Christ. As I thought about what I might wish to share with you, it came upon me as rather a sad reality that of humanity in this 21st century, throughout the world, sadly, we are probably as divided as ever we have been. Divided by colour, by race, by wealth, by power, by religion. And yet, despite our best endeavours, despite the experiences we have and share, despite all the advancements we have accomplished through technology and education, sadly, we are still as divided as ever we were. Some divisions come to mind. In the early 1900s or late 1800s to 1900s, Roman Catholics and Protestants in Northern Ireland were divided for many, many years. It calmed down, but sadly, it still rears its ugly head every now and then. There's the ongoing division between the Jews in Jerusalem and the Palestinians in the Middle East. It's always on again, off again, isn't it? Divided. And of course, there are divisions with the Hindus and the Muslims in India and Pakistan, and even closer to home, between the Christians and the Muslims in Indonesia. And they're just a few religious divisions that I've spoken about. There are so many other economical and social and power divisions that are out throughout our world. But occasionally we surprise ourselves, like the wonderful united effort by many nations of the world in rescuing 12 young Thailand soccer players and their coach from flooded caves. Remember it? 2018, I think it was. For 3 weeks, the focus was totally on these boys being saved from certain death. It didn't matter their race, their social standing, their religion. All that mattered was the unity of purpose, that they might be saved and live. You know, I did Mr. Google a visit, and I found a couple of things that might be of interest to you, talking about this united effort. It is said the rescue involved more than 10,000 people, including 100 divers, scores of rescue workers, representatives from over 100 government agencies, 900 police officers, and 2,000 soldiers. They were assisted by 10 police helicopters, 7 ambulances, and more than 700 diving cylinders of air was needed. And in addition to that, they pumped out of the caves more than 1 billion litres of water. Such was the unity to accomplish that. And 12 soccer players and their coach were saved. Sadly, one of the divers lost their lives. But the world rejoiced in the success and the unity of this rescue. And sadly, we don't see that very often. While humanitarians might like to promote genuine unity in will and purpose, as I said, sadly, there's little evidence of any real unity in the world in this 21st century. In our second reading for today from the letter of St. Paul writes to the new Christians in the church of Ephesus, reminding them that in Christ they are no longer a divided people, but have been united as one in Jesus Christ. These new Christians who had been embraced by the gospel were struggling with each other in their newfound faith because of their inherited differences, and this was impacting upon their ability to stay united. Now, you might have heard when we read, when the reading was read, that they talked about the uncircumcised and the circumcised. But that was merely a means of identifying the two groups. This has got nothing to do with that particular matter. This is to do about division and, more importantly, unity. And so the two groups I'm going to talk to you about are the Christian Greeks, who come from a philosophical background dominated by human reason and logic. The other group, of course, were the Christian Jews, who saw themselves perhaps as the Puritans of religion established by covenant, the covenants of God's law. And although at first they rejoiced, both those groups rejoiced in the joy of hearing and receiving the gospel, right now, when Paul writes, they were at the risk of losing that unity. So it is that Paul begins to remind them as to where they came from. Hey, fellas, do you remember when you were here and you were here and what was taking place in those two places and how you were divided, couldn't get together, and yet the gospel revealed the fullness of God's love to both of you in Christ Jesus, and you found a unity that you never had before. You see, both groups had been living under the law, laws which by their very nature divided them. One, laws determined by moral and ethical principles. The other, laws determined by religious covenants and commandments. And interesting, laws that neither group could truly fulfill, and beyond failure, they offered no hope. Paul reminds them that these laws, like walls, had divided them and kept them apart, but that in and through Jesus, these walls had been taken away by the very blood of Christ. In removing that which divided them, they became united as one. Paul begins about talking them as two and draws them back to the reality that in Christ they had become one. In verse 15 we read the word of God declares, and I quote, Jesus has abolished the law with its commands and its ordinances, so that Jesus might create in himself one new humanity in place of two, thereby making peace, bringing into a real and lasting peace. Now, I like to think that humanity, in the broad sense of the word, does have a good side, a good intention, a good nature about it. And in doing so, endeavours to seek a form of unity. But quite often, in seeking that unity, all that happens is they create new laws, which, as you can see, those groups that I spoke about earlier, even though they found a temporary unity, a temporary peace, the laws that were established to bring that into being only divided them yet once again. You see, it is not the intellect of humanity which needs to change. It is the heart of humanity that needs to change. And no law can change that. You cannot demand that another loves you. That is entirely the work of the heart. No law. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ embraces you in that way. And it had embraced these two groups. And they had evolved, if I can use that word, into a single unity in Christ Jesus. But that was now being torn apart again. Now, while Paul reminds the church of Ephesus who and what gathered them into an everlasting unity in Christ Jesus, I wonder what this says to us today here in the year 2021, 2,000 years since these words were spoken by Paul to the Ephesians. What's it got to say to us today? I'm pretty confident, because I know a lot of you good people, and I'm pretty confident that all of us rejoice in that unity that we have in Christ Jesus. So what does this text say to us today? I mean, we're not a divided church. We're not a divided congregation. Might have been times when we were a bit, we look at our own history. But now, I'll let you answer that. Although not raised as a Lutheran, one of the great joys and privileges that I have as a pastor and a servant of the Lord is hearing the Word of God preached in both law and gospel. To me, it's a treasured blessing, and I hope it is for you too. Luther once wrote, and I quote, and he said this about it, I quote, without the preaching of the law, the fullness of the gospel cannot be encountered. Without the preaching of the law, the fullness of the gospel cannot be encountered. Experience, whatever word you like to use there. The Word of God reminds us this morning that the peace that the human heart may desire is only found in the unity which Jesus has made real in his life, his death, and his resurrection. That's what this word reminds us this morning. You know, it's interesting to note, if you're a little bit of a history buff, it's interesting to note the divisions which have shattered the Christian church over the centuries has more than not come from within the church than from without the church, than outside the church, I should say. But surely the Lutheran Church of Australia and St. Mark's at Mount Barker are free from division, firmly united in Christ. Praise God that we are. And yet, are we not influenced by the world around us, a world demanding and influencing our responses to the society, the norms of society? Have we not within our own church and congregations struggled for the past 20 plus years with God's word concerning ordination, concerning other social demands? And do not these issues have the potential to divide us, to tear us apart, not only from each other, but from Christ? These issues are impacting upon us today, whether we admit it or not, as were the issues that confronted that Ephesus church 2,000 years ago. You know, God's word is always relevant. You can bring me a passage and I will hope to demonstrate to you the relevance of God's word today, right here now in the presence. Never mind about whether it was spoken, enacted, fulfilled 2,000, 5,000, whatever years you like. God's word is always relevant. God's word is always for the present, even given in the past, even speaking into the future. Despite the reality that most divisions arise from a fallen humanity, whether within or without the church, we rejoice in knowing that the final act of unity doesn't come from within, but from above. It can only come through the cross of Christ. You see, despite our best efforts, our best intentions, our best endeavours, we can never achieve salvation, even if done with good intent and purpose, even if done with faithful commitment. The call today is the same as it was for those in Ephesus, in the Ephesus church so long ago, and that is to repent and believe in the one who truly unites us. The Greek Christians and the Jewish Christians had their differences, but in sincere and true repentance and in unity through Christ, their differences were no more. Perhaps I can present a modern example. A Roman Catholic sinner kneeling before his priest in the confessional, or a Protestant sinner singing "Just as I am" without one plea, are no different before the cross of Christ. Both are simply sinners seeking forgiveness. And by God's grace through Christ Jesus, they are united. United in a way that they could never accomplish of their own, but united in Christ. In this fallen world, difference and division will always challenge the Christian church and its followers. And struggle as we may for a human unity, remember, unity in Christ is not ours to obtain, it is ours to receive. Through repentance and faith in Christ Jesus, this is God's gift of unity and peace. Be assured in this Christ Jesus, this is our hope, this is our peace, He is our unity. Praise be to God. Amen.